Hello, and welcome to Mystery Road. My name is Taylor.
And my name is Donovan. Mystery Road is a monthly podcast that examines the dark, strange, and unknown.
Want more updates on the show? Follow us on Instagram at Mystery Road Pod. Have suggestions and ideas for future shows? Email us at mysterieroadpod@gmail.com.
Help support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/mysteryroadpod. Now, let's take a stroll down Mystery Road. Welcome, listeners, to another episode of Mystery Road, the podcast where we delve into mysteries that captivate our imaginations. I'm your host, Donovan, and joining me today is my curious and ever-inquisitive co-host, Taylor.
Thank you, Donovan. It's great to be here. I'm ready to explore the mystifying world of the unknown. Today, we have a captivating topic on our hands, the mysterious phenomenon known as the Missing 411.
The Missing 411 has baffled investigators and sparked countless debates. It's a rabbit hole of perplexing disappearances that'll leave you with more questions than answers. So sit back and relax as we enter a tunnel with no light at the end.
Before we get to the strange disappearances, let's first discuss the man who shed light and created the Missing 411 case profile, David Paladese. David was a San Juan police officer with over 20 years of experience in law enforcement. During his time at the San Juan Police Department, he worked on the SWAT team, street crime unit, and also as a detective. After leaving the police force, David became intrigued with uncovering the truth behind Bigfoot and other unexplained vanishings that occur in and around the National Forest. David is the first professional to bring light to the phenomenon from his books and documentaries. He is also the person who coined the name Missing 411. I would highly recommend looking into his research for additional details. Donovan, would you tell our listeners about the patterns David's investigations have discovered?
Through David's research, he was able to develop a case profile based on the similarities from each case. These include geographical clusters of disappearances occurring in remote areas, often national parks or wilderness regions. These places, which should provide solace and beauty, seem to hold secrets that transcend beyond our understanding. It's not just the locations that intrigue us, but also the circumstances surrounding the cases. After all, the years of research David has found that not all missing cases in national parks are considered missing 411 cases. In fact, David has a list that he uses when reviewing cases to determine if they fit the missing 411 profile. For example, he excludes cases where people have known mental health and self-harm behavior. Instead, he focuses on the odd, abnormal facts about the case, such as the point of separation, time of disappearance, boulder fields, near bodies of water, weather events, if individuals have a disability or illness, canine search units not being able to track their scent, the missing person being found in areas that were previously searched, missing clothing, unknown causes of death, and of course, the geographical clusters where more than one missing 411 case has occurred.
As we dive into these strange disappearances, remember David's case profile, and you will see why these strange disappearances have you questioning what is going on deep in the woods.
Dior Coons Jr. was a 2-year-old boy from Idaho Falls, Idaho. In July 2015, his parents, Dior Coons Sr. and Jessica Mitchell, along with his great-grandfather, Robert Walton, and a family friend, Isaac Rainwand, embarked on a camping trip to Timber Creek Campground near Lador, Idaho. Little did they know that this vacation would turn into a nightmare.
On July 10th, 2015, Dior and Jessica were walking with Isaac, who was showing them where he had caught a fish earlier. Dior Jr. started to walk with them to go look, but quickly decided he wanted to stay with Grandpa and the candy he had for Dior Jr. Jessica, Dior, and Isaac continued on to the river. When they came back to the campsite, Jessica immediately noticed Dior Jr. was not around. When she asked Robert where Dior Jr. was, he soon realized he was not where Robert last saw him. At this point, the family began to comb the area and even called out for him, but there was no sign of the young boy, as if he had vanished into thin air.
Authorities were quickly alerted, and search and rescue teams, along with law enforcement personnel, embarked on a massive effort to find Dior Jr. The search spanned over 2,000 acres of rugged terrain, including nearby forests, meadows, and the Leheim River, which flowed near the campground. This search included having volunteers form a straight line, moving forward 5 feet at a time, and tying rope off. The rope was used as an indicator the area had already been searched. These techniques were done several times in different directions, creating a grid-like pattern. Despite extensive search efforts, there was no trace of the missing child.
As investigators dove deeper into the case, they faced several puzzling aspects. One notable detail was the lack of clues or evidence pointing to Dior Jr.'s whereabouts. No footprints, no animal tracks, no clothing, and no belongings were ever found.
The investigation took an unexpected turn when suspicions began to focus on those closest to Dior Jr. Some theories suggest that his parents or other individuals present during the camping trip might have been involved in his disappearance. The authorities conducted extensive interviews and polygraph tests, but no conclusive evidence was ever found to implicate anyone.
Another theory proposed is that Dior Jr. may have wandered off on his own. However, this possibility faces challenges due to the child's young age and the treacherous terrain surrounding the campground. Moreover, search efforts covered a vast area, making it unlikely that he could have traveled far.
The case gained significant media attention, leading to public scrutiny and speculation. Many armchair detectives and online communities engaged in discussions, offering their own theories and analysis of the available information. However, despite numerous tips and leads pouring in, the case remained unsolved.
In the years following Dior Jr.'s disappearance, the investigation has continued, albeit with limited progress. Search efforts have been periodically organized, but no substantial breakthroughs have emerged. The case has left the family devastated with unanswered questions and a longing for closure.
Another tragic missing 411 case is the disappearance of Brandon Swanson. Brandon was a hard-working and responsible young man. He was a freshman attending Minnesota West Community and Technical College, majoring in wind energy. On May 14, 2008, Brandon went out with his friends to celebrate the end of the semester. They gathered at a party in Canby, a town about 45 miles away from his hometown.
Late in the evening, around midnight, Brandon decided to head home. He got into his car, but for some reason still unknown, he ended up driving off the road into a ditch near Taunton, a small town about 10 miles away from Canby.
Brandon made a series of phone calls to his father, trying to explain his location and ask for assistance. Unfortunately, the call quality was poor, and it was difficult to discern the specific details. What we do know is that Brandon mentioned being in a field and couldn't identify his surroundings clearly.
Brandon's father, Brian Swanson, immediately went out in his vehicle to try and locate his son. However, due to the poor connection, their attempts to meet up were unsuccessful. Eventually, Brandon uttered the words, "Oh shit," before the call abruptly ended, leaving his father in utter confusion.
The following morning, a search operation was launched involving law enforcement agencies, volunteers, and even a search helicopter. Despite an exhaustive search effort covering vast areas, no trace of Brandon or his vehicle was found. It's worth noting that the initial search area was determined based on assumptions about his location due to the cell tower that pinged his phone during the last call.
Over the years, there have been various theories and sightings, but none have yielded significant breakthroughs. One uncanny detail came to light when another search was conducted in 2010, 2 years after Brandon's disappearance. A pair of pants believed to be his was found in a drainage ditch, but DNA testing could not confirm they belonged to him.
The circumstances surrounding Brandon's disappearance remain highly mysterious and eerie. Some theories propose that he might have suffered an accident or incurred some type of foul play. Others suggest that he could have wandered into unfamiliar territory and succumbed to the elements. However, without any concrete evidence, it's challenging to draw definitive conclusions.
Brandon's case remains open, and investigators continue to receive tips and information. His family has been actively involved in raising awareness about his disappearance, hoping that someone with crucial information will come forward. They've also established a website and social media channels to keep his case in the public eye.
On February 7th, 2018, Danny Filippides, a 49-year-old firefighter from Toronto, Canada, went missing during a ski trip to Whiteface Mountain in Wilmington, New York. For days, his whereabouts remain unknown, leaving family and friends distraught.
The search for Danny gripped the nation as law enforcement agencies, park rangers, and volunteers embarked on a tireless mission to locate him. The entire community reeled together, determined to bring Danny home safely.
And then, nearly 6 days after his disappearance, a miraculous breakthrough occurred. Danny was found over 2,500 miles away in Sacramento, California. It was a discovery that left everyone stunned and raised more questions than answers.
After 6 days of devastatingly waiting, Danny's wife received a call from the Sacramento Police Department. They had found a disoriented and confused man matching Danny's description at a local airport.
When Danny was located, he was still wearing his ski clothes, which was perplexing considering he had vanished from Whiteface Mountain. He couldn't provide a coherent explanation for how he ended up in California, adding to the mystery surrounding his disappearance.
Police conducted an extensive investigation and interviewed Danny at length. It became clear that he had experienced some form of dissociative amnesia, as he had no recollection of how he traveled from New York to California. It is believed he may have been in a state of confusion or disorientation during that time.
Surveillance footage from various locations, including airports and transportation hubs, were reviewed by police and discovered that Danny had taken a commercial flight from Albany, New York to Sacramento, California. However, his motivations for the sudden cross-country trip remain a mystery.
There are several theories that have emerged. Some experts suggest that Danny may have suffered a head injury or experienced a psychological trauma that triggered the dissociative amnesia. Others speculate that he may be a victim of a crime or even involved in illegal activities, but no concrete evidence has supported these theories.
Despite all the theories, Danny has been reunited with his family and is receiving the necessary support to recover from whatever happened to him. As for the investigation, while the primary focus was on finding Danny, police are still actively seeking additional information or leads that could shed light on the circumstances surrounding his disappearance and the subsequent journey.
David's case profile often involves individuals who vanish without a trace or are found in locations seemingly impossible to reach on their own, with only a select few returning home, typically with little knowledge of what has happened to them, as if some unknown force is at play, something beyond our comprehension.
While David does not provide definitive conclusions, he touches upon theories like interdimensional portals, alien abductions, and even the involvement of mythical crypts, like Bigfoot, or supernatural entities. These theories offer alternative perspectives, sparking debates and further speculation.
It's fascinating how these theories open our minds to possibilities beyond the mundane. However, it is important to approach them with skepticism and critical thinking. Considering conventional explanations like natural hazards, human intervention, or simple misadventure.
This next story blurs the lines between the unexplained and the extraordinary. What was previously fiction became fact for some. Rob Zinker and Chris Bales' experience in Idaho left them questioning the mysteries of the cosmos. Let's dig into the details of their encounter.
Picture this, a serene evening in the heart of Idaho, near a remote cabin enveloped by the mountains. Rob and Chris were there, hoping for a night of stargazing, but little did they know, they were about to witness something far beyond their expectations.
As they marveled at the night sky, a sudden burst of light broke through the darkness. It streaked across the sky with incredible speed, captivating their attention. They were left stunned and perplexed, witnessing a spectacle that defied physics.
The object's movements were remarkable. It was not bound to the laws of physics as we know them, darting from one point to another in an instant. Its mesmerizing dance across the sky left both Rob and Chris in awe. They had encountered a genuine, unidentified flying object.
As the object drew nearer, they could discern its triangular shape, an unmistakable metallic object with luminescent lights lining its edges. The colors shifted and morphed, creating a display of pure fascination. But along with the wonder, a sense of unease washed over them.
The air around them crackled with an inexplicable energy. A low-frequency hum emanated from the craft, resonating down to their bones. It felt like a form of communication, a message they couldn't decipher. They were face-to-face with a technology far beyond theirs or anyone of this planet's comprehension.
And just when they thought the encounter couldn't become more surreal, the UFO swiftly ascended into the night sky, disappearing with astonishing speed. Rob and Chris were left speechless, grappling with the enormity of what they had just witnessed.
Their experience, as shared on David Paladin's Missing 411, The UFO Connection, has sent shockwaves through the UFO research community. It raises profound questions about our place in the universe and the existence of otherworldly entities.
Their encounter in Idaho has compelled them and countless others to delve deeper into the realm of UFO sightings, abduction phenomena, and the connections to missing person cases explored by David Paldies. After reviewing the location of this event, David noticed this event, Dior Jr.'s last known location, and two other events happen in close proximity, leading to more speculation as to extraterrestrial beings visiting our planet and abducting individuals.
Which brings us to the baffling alien abduction of Carl Higdon. Now, for those who might not be familiar, Carl is a Wyoming hunter who claimed to have had a jaw-dropping alien encounter back in 1974. It's a story that has both intrigued and bewildered UFO enthusiasts for decades.
It all started on October 25th, 1974, when Carl set out on a hunting trip in the Medicine Bow National Forest. He was just a regular guy, enjoying his time in the great outdoors, when things took a turn for the extraordinary. According to Carl, he suddenly found himself face to face with a group of elk, just standing still, not moving at the sight of him. Carl pulled his trigger on his rifle. He stated the bullet hit some type of invisible force field and it just dropped to the ground. He attempted to turn around and leave, however he was stunned by the sight of a see-through UFO cube that was hovering behind him.
One of the beings suddenly appeared behind Carl and asked if he was hungry. The being then threw what appeared to be four pills at Carl. Carl swallowed one of the pills and had a sudden surge of knowledge go through him. Carl soon found himself aboard their spacecraft and noticed that the five elk were also aboard. He was introduced to Ozo, who explained they went down to Earth to obtain food supplies. Carl claimed he had a conversation with Ozo, discovering that their species has to wear an all-black outfit because our sun burns them, and they frequently visit Earth to hunt elk and deer for food.
Soon after Carl arrived on board, he said they took off and he was taken to their planet, where they put him behind a screen which determined the aliens had no need for him. Ozo assured Carl he would go back to Earth and someone would find him. Carl's wife, Marjorie, felt she needed to go to him. So after work, Marjorie and the sheriff went to find Carl. When they did, he was somewhat disoriented, and they took him to the hospital, where he was ultimately cleared with a clean bill of health. What is so strange about this is that Carl initially had tuberculosis scars on his lungs, and when they x-rayed him at the hospital, his lungs were completely clear. Carl believes he was released due to having a vasectomy, though has no way of truly knowing.
Carl did offer some evidence to back up his extraterrestrial experience. He met with Dr. Leo Sprinkle, who was a psychologist, where he took 3 to 4 polygraph exams that all came back showing that he was telling what he believes is the truth. Carl reported that the beings left behind a mysterious blue book containing bizarre symbols and diagrams. However, when he showed it to experts, no one could decipher its meaning. That, coupled with Carl's sincere demeanor and consistency in his storytelling, has led many to believe his story is factual.
These stories, and the many more we didn't cover today, serve as a reminder that there's so much we have yet to understand about the mysteries that surround us. The unknown beckons us to explore, to question, and to seek answers that may redefine our perception of reality. Most importantly, many believe these stories and evidence are another step forward to answer the question, are we alone?
The truth remains elusive, and the missing 411 phenomenon continues to challenge those who investigate it. It's a topic that reminds us of the vastness of our world and the mysteries that even with today's technology, we still do not understand. With each case we uncover, we come face to face with the unknown. Remember, listeners, in this episode, we have only looked at a select few of David's case files, and it should be noted that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of cases like the above, with new ones being added to the list every year.
That's it for this episode. Thank you all very much for taking the time to listen to our podcast. Next month, join us as we travel down south to Texarkana, Arkansas, and Texas to investigate the brutal killings of the Phantom Killer. If you like our content, please like, share, and subscribe. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Mystery Rogue Pod. Also, consider donating to our show at patreon.com/Mystery Rogue Pod to help support the show. If you have ideas for future shows, email us at MysteryRoguePod@gmail.com. Links will be in the show notes.